Welcome to this AAT podcast on national insurance contributions. National insurance was introduced over 96 years ago by David Lloyd George and was supposed to be a temporary measure, which it obviously isn't now. The most important statement that I can make at the outset is to remind you that NIC rules are quite different from income tax, not only in the rates that apply, but also in the basic concept. This is despite the merger of the old Inland Revenue and the Contributions Agency in 1999, and many changes that have been made to try and align the two duties. PAYE is the provisional deduction of employment income tax and operates on a cumulative system. But national insurance contributions are non-cumulative, and if an employee has two jobs with unconnected employers, he or she could pay no Class 1 NICs if their earnings in each job are below the earnings threshold. The employee could also pay too much national insurance because the system is not cumulative, although there is provision for claiming a refund. There are many other differences between the income tax and NIC's rules, and I will discuss some of these in this podcast. There are different classes of national insurance contributions that are payable in the UK. And these basically are Class 1 earnings-related national insurance contributions for both the employer and the employee. Class 1A national insurance for employers only and charged on benefits in kind. Class 1B national insurance, again for employer only and charged on expense payments and benefits in kind that are included in a PAYE settlement agreement. Then we have the Class 2 contributions that will be very familiar to most of you. Contributions of £2.20 per week, paid by about 2.5 million self-employed earners, and sometimes paid voluntarily by someone outside the UK system to protect the benefit entitlement. Exception from liability to Class 2 contributions may be claimed on the form CF10 if earnings are below a specified limit, which for 2007-08 has been set at £4,635. Then we have Class 3 contributions, which are voluntary contributions of currently £7.80 per week. These are often paid by UK nationals that go overseas and leave the UK NIC system, paid so that they can protect their benefit entitlement when they're abroad. Class 4 national insurance contributions is the self-employed, profit-related contributions, and they're charged at 8% on profits between £5,225 and £34,840 per annum. Exception from liability for Class 4 contributions will be granted to anyone who at the beginning of the year of assessment is over pensionable age, currently 60 for a woman and 65 for a man. Exception will be granted to anyone who at the beginning of the year of assessment is under the age of 16, but has to apply for the exception. And it will be granted to anyone who is non-resident for tax purposes. And there are some other special exceptions that are less common and I'm not going into today. NICs are used to pay for Social Security benefits. And the main ones that are funded by the scheme are the state retirement pension, statutory sick pay, the job seeker's allowance, statutory maternity pay or maternity allowance, and incapacity benefit, which is to be replaced in April 2008 by employment support allowance with a new personal capability assessment. Every employed person in the UK whose age is between 16 and 60 for women and 65 for men is liable to pay primary Class 1 national insurance contributions as their pay reaches the current earnings threshold. As the level of an individual's entitlement to any state benefit depends on his or her NIC record, it is extremely important that NIC deductions are accurately made and recorded. For the current year 2007-08, the earnings on which non-contracted out national insurance contributions are levied are as follows. Up to £100 per week or £435 per month, no contributions. from £100 per week or £435 per month up to £670 per week or £2,904 per month, 11% contributions. Over £670 per week or £2,904 per month, in other words, the upper earnings limit, the contribution is 1% for employees. There is no upper earnings limit for employers. Individuals in the UK are at liberty to enter into personal pension schemes or employer fully or partly funded pension schemes. In these instances, the national insurance contributions rates of 11% are reduced by the contracted out rebates of 1.6% for employees. Employers are also obliged to pay Class 1 NICs. These are called secondary Class 1 contributions and are currently 12.8% of the employee's pay that exceeds the earnings threshold. As I've said, there's no upper earnings limit for employers, so the 12.8% is payable on all pay that exceeds the earnings threshold. Where the employer provides an occupational pension scheme and makes contributions to that scheme, as I've said again, the contracted out rebate is either 1.4% for a money purchase scheme or 3.7% for a salary-related pension scheme. Again, on employees' earnings that are between the earnings threshold and the upper earnings limit. A woman who was married on or before the 6th of April 1977 could choose to pay a reduced rate of Class 1 national insurance of 4.85%, or if she was self-employed, could choose not to pay Class 2 national insurance at all. This choice had to be made on an official form before the 12th of May 1977, which of course is a long time ago. No one who married after the 6th of April 1977 could choose to pay the reduced rate, and no woman was entitled to make an election after the 11th of May 1977. The important point is that a certificate of election would have been issued, which the woman would have given her employer to prove that reduced rate NIC should be deducted from earnings. Or if self-employed, she would have retained the certificate herself to prove that she was accepted from liability for Class 2 NICs. There are not large numbers of employees that continue to qualify for the reduced rate, and an employer should make an annual check of the right to pay reduced rate by asking any female employee that currently pays reduced rate to confirm that they are still entitled to do so. The employer needs to be careful if they are deducting a reduced rate and can't justify it, and if a female employee has been divorced during the year, they would have ceased to be entitled to the reduced rate. It needs to be checked every year.